In yet another episode of What in the World Are We Doing, we find ourselves staring into the abyss of absurdity as America, the land of freedom and due process, has decided that suspected drug traffickers are now enemy combatants. Yes, you heard it right. The United States has taken a page out of the dystopian playbook and is launching military strikes on boats in the Caribbean, transforming what used to be a law enforcement issue into a full-blown military operation. The UK, our once steadfast ally, has hit the brakes on sharing intelligence with us because they don't want their fingerprints on what they see as illegal attacks. Imagine that, our closest friends looking at us like we've lost our collective minds. They're not wrong. These actions have left 76 people dead, and it seems that even international law is shaking its head in disbelief. But wait, there's more. Canada is also backing away from this circus act. They'll still help catch drug runners but draw a firm line at using their intel for targeting these deadly strikes. It's almost like watching your friends slowly step back from your meltdown at a party. Meanwhile, high-ranking officials within our own defense apparatus are throwing up red flags faster than you can say extrajudicial killing. The commander of US Southern Command even offered his resignation over this mess. A rare moment of integrity amidst chaos. Yet here we are, plowing ahead with all the grace of an elephant in a china shop. The Trump administration argues these traffickers pose an imminent threat to Americans because they're deemed enemy combatants. Apparently, stationary boats filled with drugs are now warships threatening apple pie and baseball. We've reached a point where logic has packed its bags and left town. This whole debacle reeks of desperation wrapped in legalese so convoluted it makes Kafka seem straightforward. But let's not kid ourselves. This isn't about safety or justice, it's about flexing muscles and pretending we're keeping order while trampling over international norms like they're yesterday's news. So here we drift through this nightmare, a country so hell-bent on asserting power that it forgets why laws exist in the first place, to protect humanity from its worst impulses. As allies distance themselves and skepticism mounts internally, one can't help but wonder if there's any turning back from this lunacy, or if we're just doomed to ride this train straight off the rails into oblivion.
A Veterans Day, a time to honor those who have served in the military, and for the rest of us, a day to realize just how inconvenient it is when our favorite government services take a break. It's like we've been hit by a minor apocalypse. Only instead of zombies, we're dealing with closed DMVs and delayed trash pickups. Let's start with the real tragedy. No mail delivery. I know you are all eagerly awaiting that coupon book from Bed Bath & Beyond, or perhaps your monthly subscription box filled with artisanal soaps you'll never use. But alas, today you must wait, and heaven forbid you need to renew your driver's license or register your car on this sacred day. The DMV is closed, which means you'll have to put off that soul-crushing experience until tomorrow. Oh, the humanity, but don't worry, you can still drown your sorrows in consumerism because Walmart and Target are open for business as usual. Nothing says thank you for your service quite like a Black Friday-level shopping spree on November 11th. Restaurants are jumping on board too, offering veterans free meals at Chipotle. Because nothing honors sacrifice like a free burrito bowl with extra guac. Now, if you're worried about missing out on financial market chaos, fret not. The New York Stock Exchange is wide open, so while banks might be closed, Wall Street will continue its relentless pursuit of making money off, well, whatever it is they make money off these days. In summary, Veterans Day, a time for reflection, gratitude, and realizing just how much we rely on public services to function like normal human beings. Happy holiday.
Ah, the sweet symphony of saber-rattling echoes across the Caribbean as Venezuela and the United States engage in a delightful game of military brinkmanship. In a move that has all the subtlety of a sledgehammer, Venezuela announces its quote-quote massive mobilization of military forces. Of course, this is merely to optimize command and control, because nothing says peace quite like deploying your entire arsenal. Defense Minister Vladimir Padrino López assures us that this spectacle is simply a response to an imperialist threat. One might wonder if there's a handbook somewhere on how to stage these geopolitical dramas with just the right amount of dramatic flair. Perhaps it was penned by Hugo Chavez himself as his Bolivarian militia, an enthusiastic band of civilian soldiers named after Simon Bolivar, joins the fray. Meanwhile, in a display of sheer coincidence, America's largest warship, USS Gerald R. Ford, sails into the region with enough firepower to make even Poseidon blush. Accompanied by an entourage worthy of a Hollywood blockbuster, including guided missile destroyers and thousands of sailors ready for action, not to mention fighter jets buzzing overhead like angry hornets, the U.S. insists this is all about combating drug trafficking. Because who wouldn't deploy their finest naval assets for such noble pursuits? The Venezuelan narrative paints this as part of President Nicolas Maduro's grand Independence Plan 200, presumably designed to ensure that no corner of Venezuela remains unscathed by military exercises. With claims of over 8 million reservists at his disposal, a number skeptics might suggest was plucked from thin air. It seems Caracas is determined to show its mettle. As tensions rise faster than sea levels in Miami Beach, one must appreciate the absurdity. Two nations locked in a dance, neither wants but both seem unable to resist. The U.S. hints at regime change while denying any immediate plans for intervention, because why spoil the suspense? Meanwhile, bombers conduct training missions near Venezuela's coast, because practice makes perfect when it comes to keeping everyone on edge. In this theater where reality meets farce, we watch as each side flexes its muscles with earnest determination. It's almost comforting how predictably unpredictable international relations can be when pride and paranoia share center stage.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the great mysteries of life, like why we're all so fascinated by reality TV shows about Mormon wives swapping partners. Today's inspiration comes from CNN's article on the secret lives of Mormon wives, a show that offers us a glimpse into the whirlwind lives of these women, because apparently watching our own chaotic lives unfold isn't enough. Imagine living in a world where your marital scandals are not only public, but also the plot twist for an entire season. Taylor Frankie Paul and her friends have turned their personal dramas into entertainment gold. And here we are, eagerly munching on popcorn as they navigate relationships more complicated than a Rubik's Cube in zero gravity. It begs the question, are we drawn to these shows because they make our own existential dilemmas seem less daunting? After all, if Paul can juggle soft swinging, divorce, and pregnancy with grace, or at least with enough flair to land her next gig as The Bachelorette, maybe our problems aren't so bad. Perhaps there's comfort in knowing that someone else has skeletons rattling louder than ours in their closet. But let's pause for a moment. What does it say about us when we find solace in others' chaos? Are we simply voyeurs peering through the digital keyhole, or is there something deeper at play? Maybe it's the reassurance that everyone else is just as confused as we are. Or maybe it's just nice to know that even reality stars struggle with reality itself. And then there's Jennifer Affleck and Whitney Levitt twirling away from drama on Dancing with the Stars. Who knew ballroom dancing could be such a refuge from partner swapping sagas? As Affleck puts it, there's something refreshing about a show focused on rhythm rather than relational discord. A reminder that sometimes stepping out of one's comfort zone involves literal dance steps rather than metaphorical ones. Yet amidst this spectacle of human folly lies an ironic truth. While these women expose every detail of their lives to millions, most of us are still trying to figure out how much vulnerability is too much when oversharing on social media. Is authenticity measured by likes and follows, or by some internal compass pointing towards self-acceptance? In this grand theater called life, or should I say, reality TV, we're all actors trying to improvise without scripts. We stumble through scenes filled with love triangles and existential dread alike. Occasionally breaking character, but mostly hoping no one notices our missteps. So next time you tune into The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, remember, life may be absurdly complex, but hey, it makes for great television.
In the capitalist fever dream, the allure of a $900 million Mega Millions jackpot glistens like a siren's call to those adrift in a sea of desperation and greed. This spectacle, the eighth largest in its sordid history, is not merely a game of chance, but rather an indictment of society's insatiable lust for wealth without labor. The tantalizing choice between a $415.3 million lump sum payout or an annuity spread over 30 years is nothing more than a Faustian bargain. The odds mockingly whisper their improbability, 1 in 290.5 million. A cruel joke played on hopeful masses who cling to delusions of grandeur while drowning in economic quicksand. As if mocking our collective folly, should no victor emerge tonight. Friday promises to escalate this charade beyond $1 billion, a testament to humanity's boundless avarice. The ticket price hike under the guise of improved odds is yet another ploy, an exploitative scheme masquerading as opportunity while siphoning funds from pockets already threadbare. Half the proceeds remain within state borders, ostensibly fueling educational coffers like Georgia's $29.8 billion contribution since inception. Yet this altruism feels hollow when juxtaposed against the grotesque spectacle it funds, a distraction from systemic failure dressed as benevolence. Mega Millions reigns supreme across 45 states and beyond, its reach as vast as its promise hollow. Seven jackpots have reached the billion-dollar mark, each one a beacon illuminating society's warped priorities where dreams are sold at $5 apiece. The December victor, who claimed $1.269 billion before taxes, stands alongside Florida's anonymous record holder with their $1.6 billion prize, a pantheon of shadows that hint at what might be gained, but never at what is lost. Prizes must be claimed through state lottery offices, anonymity sometimes granted. A thin veil for those who momentarily escape obscurity, only to become prisoners of newfound fortune's capricious whims. Federal and state taxes ensure even these windfalls are fleeting. A final twist in this theater of absurdity, where profit reigns supreme over reason and morality, lies discarded amid scattered losing tickets.